Thank you, Al. Thank you for sharing what the Lord has done in your life, and for thankful for what the Lord has done. This morning, as we think of Friend Day, somebody asked me this week what I was going to preach on, and I said, well, I have about five messages I want to preach. And I told this person all these messages I wanted to preach, and then she said she isn't here, by the way. I thought she was going to come. She said, preach that one. Well, I'm not going to preach that one. I thought about it, but it kind of ended up a little bit different. But I thought on this day, Friend Day, I thought would capture of that theme, the idea of friend. And, you know, the Bible talks about a man in the Bible who was called the friend of God. And we want to look at why Abraham was called the friend of God. And we're going to begin by turning to the book of James, as the book of James talks about Abraham and uses this phrase that Abraham was called the friend of God. So let's turn there, then we'll have a moment of prayer, and then we'll proceed with our message this morning. James chapter number 2. We read about Abraham this morning in Romans chapter 4, a great passage of Scripture, talking about the difference between faith and works, the difference between grace and debt. And Abraham, being a man of faith in his uncircumcision, and how we have a great truth for us today. James chapter 2, if you found your place, I want to read verse number 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Let's pray together. Father, we pray your hand would be upon us, and may your Holy Spirit be with us. May the truth of your word be clear. And Lord, we know that it is you that must take the truth of the Word of God and take it to the heart, to the place of conviction, to a place of understanding, to a place, Lord, of faith, that might not only be recognized, but it would be acted upon. And so we give this time to you, and may you, Lord, do the work in our hearts that needs to be done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we find that Abraham was called the friend of God. What made him a friend of God? As I think about that, I think of a contrasting verse in the Bible. Kind of a scary verse. James chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We see a huge contrast between a man who is called the friend of God and those in the Bible who are called the friends of the world, and who, in that sense, are at enmity with God. What is it? What about Abraham that made him that God would say that he was a friend of God? The Bible tells us that Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. Now, actually, we aren't saying simply that God, that Abraham believed God existed. You know, the Bible says that the devil knows that God exists. In the same book that we're in, James, chapter 2, it says, the devils believe and tremble. The devils believe and tremble. They know that God exists. It's sad to say that we are in the day of our country when there's a vast majority of our people that are questioning whether God even exists. That is so elemental. But the problem is, it is very real today. But this is not what made Abraham the friend of God. Because obviously he believed that God existed. But what is it that made him the friend of God? It is because he believed what God said. He believed what God said. You know, there's a big difference between believing God and believing what God says. In Genesis chapter 15, now that's not too hard to get to because that's the first book of the Bible. But we could go there, and we could read what God said to Abraham. Genesis 15. And we'll not read the whole passage of Scripture, but verse 4. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, and if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. What is God saying to Abraham? Abraham, you don't have a child. And your servant is not going to be the heir of all your possessions. Even though you are old in age, you are going to have a son. And although you can't comprehend as being old that your son would have a multitude of descendants, but they will. The multitude of your descendants will be so great, they will be as the stars of the sky in number. And the Bible says, and he believed in the Lord. He believed in the Lord. What did he believe? He believed what God said. That made him the friend of God. The Bible says in verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Of course, that is the Bible doctrine of justification. The fact that God, even with Abraham, as Abraham believed the promise of God, his sins were forgiven, and the perfect righteousness of the coming Savior, Jesus Christ, was imputed to his account, was put upon his account. This is the great doctrine of justification. But what was it? What was it that made Abraham a friend of God? He believed what God said. Secondly, we are going to look at what made Abraham a friend of God. He depended upon what God said. Turn with me this morning to Romans chapter 5, chapter 4. That's where we were reading this morning in the Bible. And we did not read the whole chapter. But this chapter is explaining the faith of Abraham. Explaining the faith of Abraham. And it's taking the account of Abraham when he was 100 years old, and when he had yet not a son, and when his wife Sarah was 90 years old, and she was too incapable of having a child, and God came to them and said, now's the time that the promise I've given you is going to be fulfilled. And the Bible tells us, as that situation took place in verse 18, it tells us what was taking place in Abraham's heart and mind. It says in verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken by God, we put in there, so shall thy seed be. And be not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Here he was, 100 years of age. Here his wife, 90 years of age, passed the age of having children. And God said, okay, now's the time that the promise is going to be fulfilled. You will have a child. And that child, eventually in time, will result in a multitude of seed. That child will result in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that Abraham looked at himself, his inability. He thought of God's promise. He calculated God's ability to keep his promise, and he believed. And of course, we know the rest of the story. He did have a son of miraculous birth by the name of Isaac. And all the children of Israel today are the descendants of Isaac. You see, he acted. He depended on what God said. He believed what God said. He also depended upon what God said. You know, there is a very significant truth there. There's many people that believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. But it's a whole other thing to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. It's a whole other thing to say, I will turn to him in complete dependence for the forgiveness of all my sins. That's a big difference. He depended on what God said. The third thing we find about Abraham, what made him the friend of God, he obeyed what God said. He obeyed what God said. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us what took place in Genesis chapter number 12 and gives us a comment about Abraham and what God told Abraham. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. The Bible tells us that God told Abraham to leave the Ur of the Chaldees and to leave Haran and go to the land that we now call Israel or Palestine. Abraham had never been there. He did not know what it was like. But God said, I want you to go to this place. He didn't really know where God was leading him. But the Bible says that by faith, he obeyed what God said. He obeyed what God said. You know, it's amazing as you think about that great truth. We are reminded of what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples. In John 15, verse 14, he says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, as we're looking at Abraham as the man who's called the friend of God, what are we doing? We are investigating the character of true faith. We are investigating the character of true faith. The text we looked at this morning said that Abraham was the father of faith. And it gives us the character of true faith. And that's something that's worth investigating. Because there is a lot of so-called faith out there. But what was it that made Abraham called the friend of God? Well, first of all, he believed what God said. You know, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. But not one jot or one tittle of the law shall pass till all is fulfilled. You know, what was Jesus saying? Now, those are words that maybe you don't understand, but a jot is the smallest Hebrew letter. A tittle is the smallest distinguishing mark in the Hebrew language between two letters. It's a real short little line that distinguishes between a dogish and a resh. Two letters, two distinct letters. What did he say? He said, the word of God is true to every letter. My friend, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He could not say that if he had lied about the Word of God. Abraham believed what God said. Abraham depended upon what God said. He acted in dependence on what God has said. He did something about what God has said. The Bible says, now he obeyed what God said. It's also interesting that Abraham commanded what God said. In Genesis chapter number 18. We have the account of the Bible that Abraham is communing with the Lord. Of course, you remember, Abraham was outside of his tent and he saw three men coming. And he greeted them and he welcomed them. And as you read the account, we realize that one of those men was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that in Genesis 18:1, it says, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre." And in the Hebrew text, usually when you have a historical biographical section, the first verse is the title, just like a newspaper article. It's the title. You know, you go buy a newspaper, and you know it says, you know the Twin Towers are, collapse, etc. That's the title. And then you read the article. Well, exactly. Genesis 18, the title of the story is "The Lord Appeared Unto Abraham." It's just like Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1 is the title. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That's the title of the story. And then he goes and tells how he did it. Here's the title of the story. And so three men came to, and when the Lord, the angel of the Lord appeared unto men, and when angels appeared to men, they didn't have wings. No, they appeared as men. And so Abraham sees these three men. One of them was the Lord, and two of them were angels. And in the conversation, the Lord sends two angels to Sodom and Gomorrah to rescue Lot and his family, because he's going to destroy that wicked city. And he sends the two angels to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy it. And in the middle of that, we're going to find the context of our verse. Verse 16. "And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." We could say a lot about what this verse is saying, but you notice, he said, notice the concept of Abraham being the friend of God. Of course, you know, in the Gospels, he said to the disciples, "I call you my friends, not my servants, because I have shared with you the truths of God." And here we find the same principle. And he said this about Abraham, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him." You see, Abraham not only believed what God said and depended upon what God said and obeyed what God said, but Abraham commanded others concerning what God said. Now, let me put it into real life. in earth, our most precious possession. I think we'd have to say, in earth, our most precious possession. I'm not talking about a spiritual possession, but our most precious possession on this earth, I'm speaking as a parent, are our children. You know, I've talked to some pretty rough, tough, wild, worldly guys. You know, they want to act like they're Mr. Tough Guy, and they don't care about anything. And you know, if I could summarize the conversation, you say to them, aren't you concerned about eternity? And they say, oh, I don't care if I go to hell or not. And I've met those kind of men. And every once in a while, I meet one of those kind of men, and they have a child. And I say to him, do you want that child to go to hell? Oh, no! I don't want him to go to hell. But let's put it down to reality. The reality is, the test of Abraham's faith, the reality of his faith, of his being a friend of God, was what? That he was going to make sure that his children knew what God's word said. And he was going to make sure they believed what God said. And he was going to make sure that they walked in the ways of God. That's why he's called the friend of God. That was real faith. Real faith. He believed what God said. He depended on what God said. He obeyed what God said. And he commanded what God said. You know, we live in a kind of a day in which there's this false kind of faith that, you know, it's called, using a worldly term, leave your religion to yourself. You know, that's a bankrupt religion. That's a bankrupt faith. That doesn't speak of a real relationship with God. You know, when a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, the reality is, if it is genuine, they want everybody else in the world to know what they know about Jesus Christ. And so, quickly though, what were the results of his believing God? First of all, the results were that he was saved. He was justified. His sins were forgiven. And he was the imperfect righteousness of Jesus Christ was imputed to his account. Abraham, the scripture says, believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. Folks, it wasn't a process. It took place at the moment of time that he believed God's promise. You say, what did he believe? Well, the Bible says in John chapter 8, it said He said of Abraham, Jesus said this, he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he looked to see my day, and he saw it and rejoiced. Aha. How did he see the day of Christ? By believing the message of the promise of God that through his seed would come Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Matthew 1:1. Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. What was the result of believing God? He was personally brought into personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Number two, God worked in a personal, miraculous way in his life. How was Isaac born? Isaac was born a miraculous birth. Both Abraham and Sarah, God moved in their bodies miraculously to enable them to have children. What were the results? He passed his faith, number three, he passed his faith to his son. And God said to Abraham, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You know, we have to ask this question today. Are we a friend of God? Are we a friend of God? Do we believe what God said? Oh, we live in a day of skeptics, don't we? We live in a day of scoffers. The implication today is if you believe the Bible, you are ignorant. You know, it's amazing to me. This last week, I was just reading about in Jerusalem, they found an ossuary, which is a box, a box that they put bones in. When someone died, they put the body in a tomb, and after everything was decayed, they take the bones and they put it in a box. And on the box, then they would put the name of the person. And on this box, they had the name that this person was a relative of Annas and Caiaphas, who was the high priest that tried Christ. This article was trying to say, we have something that dates back to the possibility of the things of happening in the Bible. And, you know, I kind of laugh at that. Because if you would go to an honest archaeologist, every honest archaeologist, the first thing they do when they go to the Bible lands is they consult the Bible. Because they know that archaeology has never, ever contradicted what the Bible says. And yet, you know, historically, people have no idea what took place 2,000 years ago. But the Bible has the names and the persons and the places and all the events. And they have been perfectly preserved in the Bible for 2,000 years, just the New Testament alone. A friend of God, he believed what God said. He depended upon what God said. He obeyed what God said. He commanded what God said. I wonder today, do you believe what God says? You know, the most astounding fact of what the Bible says is something that most people don't want to believe. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, everyone is a sinner. You say, oh, I'm not a sinner. Well, let me ask you a question. How many murders do you have to commit to be a murderer? Just one. How many sins do you have to commit to be a sinner? One. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. There is a penalty to sin. And that penalty of sin is eternal separation from God. And that's why Jesus Christ came into the world. The Bible says God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. You know why that the Bible can say that? Is because everyone is a sinner and that everyone was and is condemned under the penalty of sin. And God sent His Son to rescue us from our deserved condemnation. Do you believe what God said? We are all sinners and we are all under the penalty of sin. But God, in His love, didn't lay some of your sins on Jesus Christ. Thank God, He laid all of our sins on Jesus Christ. The Bible says that God hath made Christ sin for us who knew no sin. The Bible says that God made Jesus Christ the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. I wonder, you believe what God said? Have you depended upon what God has said? You see, God has said, it's not by works of righteousness. God has said, it says, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. But it says it's by faith. Faith in what? The fact that Jesus Christ paid the complete payment of our terrible, rotten sin on the cross. You know, I say that all of our sin very specifically. Why? Because, you know, some people, they have this mystical kind of faith that Jesus died for some of their sin and that they are going to take care of the rest of their sin by somehow doing some good deed that will somehow erase the penalty of their bad sin. See, that isn't depending on Christ, is it? That's not depending on God's word. Because Christ died for all man's sin. You see, believing is depending on what God said. Believing is depending upon what God has said. It's interesting The Philippian jailer said to the Apostle Paul, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." If you would put the word depend, take all your sin and depend on Jesus Christ with them, you'll be saved. You see, faith isn't static. Faith is active. And so, Abraham was the father of faith. He was the friend of God because he believed what God said. And that believing was more than intellectual. That believing was acting upon it. And so the Bible says, "But as many as receive him," that's Jesus Christ, "as the one who died for all of our sin, the one who rose from the grave, but whosoever will receive him," that means come as a sinner, come as one under the penalty of sin, come recognizing that no matter how good they have been and how good they look in the eyes of people, before God, they are sinner and they need salvation. They come to him, "but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." So the message of faith is a specific decision to believe what God said. It's a specific turning to God independence. It is a specific time in which someone will trust Jesus Christ as Savior. The Bible says, what saith the Scripture? The word of faith. What is the word of faith? It says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," a specific turning, a specific trusting as a lost sinner, "for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," the Scripture says, "shall be saved." You know, I remember our youngest daughter came to me, and she had heard the gospel all her life. At that time, she was almost 4. And she said, "Dad, I'd like to be saved." And so we took her through the Bible, showed her that everyone is a sinner, there's a penalty for sin, Christ paid the penalty for sin, that Jesus rose from the dead, and that he offers eternal life as a gift to those who will turn from their sin in repentance and turn to Christ. And I said, showed her all that, and I said, "Now, Heather, the Bible says that you could call upon Jesus Christ as a sinner, and knowing you're a sinner and believing that he died for your sins, you could call on him and he'll save you." And I said, "Now, Heather, do you believe that?" And she says, "I think so." I said, "Heather, you're not ready to be saved. When you know what God's word is true and that you can depend upon what God's word has said and what Christ has done, and that you know that he will save you when you come to him, then come back to mom and dad and you can trust Christ as your Savior." And so, we prayed, and she went her way. A few weeks later, she came to Tonda. She said, "I'm ready. I'm ready now. I'm ready to believe, trust completely in faith, Jesus Christ is my Savior." And she was born again that day. And I wonder today, do you have intellectual faith? Do you have emotional faith? Or do you have real faith. And real faith is that faith that you are so convinced that you need Jesus Christ, and that He will save you, that you are anxious to turn from going your own way. You are anxious to turn from your sin, which is so ugly. You are anxious to get a new heart that only God can give you. That you will turn to Jesus Christ and trust Him. Depend upon Him completely for with all your sin and your soul. And if you will, at that moment, you will begin to be a friend of God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You know, I wonder, you may be here today say, you know, I believe. I wonder, does your faith have the same character of Abraham? Do you believe? You actually believe what God has said? Or is the Bible, take it or leave it? Do you really depend upon what God has said? Do you really obey the Bible because God has said it, not because you always understand how it ever will work out, but you obey it because God has said it? Do you accord your life because, like Mr. Griffin here, you've changed from your thoughts versus to accepting what God's thoughts are, that they're right? Do we accord our life? And what is your faith? Is your faith of that nature that you recognize, hey, this is the greatest thing in all the world? This is so real. Everyone needs to know that they can have eternal life. They can have this new life. That Jesus Christ is real. That He is a living God. That He will change your life. He is a living Savior. Abraham was the father of our faith. He is also called the friend of God. Can that God say that of you today? It starts by trusting God about the most important thing, that we are sinners, that we are lost because we're sinners. We are condemned because of our sin, and that Jesus Christ paid the complete penalty of our sin. And there is no forgiveness apart from Him. For He alone, as the Son of God, could pay our penalty. Will you become a friend of God today? Will you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? I just wonder, well, what's the opposite of being a friend of God? The Bible says friendship with the world is enmity with God. Quite a contrast. Let's bow as we pray. Father, thank You for Your Word today. Thank You for the great truths that we've learned. And Lord, the greatest truth is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He died for them all. And that we can have forgiveness of our sins and a right standing with a holy God by trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior. Not trusting works, not trusting our religion, not trusting our goodness, but trusting alone Jesus Christ, coming to Him without anything, coming to Him without any works, coming to Him without any of our own righteousness, coming to Him without depending on any religion or religious acts, coming to Him as a sinner, completely dependent upon Him. We thank You that, Lord, You said, "He that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out." And Lord, may You help those that this day need to come to Jesus Christ to believe what You have said and then to depend on what You have said of what Jesus Christ can do for them. While our heads are bowed and eyes closed, you're here today and you say, you know,